I mean, it was 33-0. We were sitting there, and I said at some point, probably go to Tyrod here, huh? And then the next play, they threw a screen for a touchdown, so it's 48-0.
Aaron Rodgers in flames. The Jets buried by the Bills yesterday. They put Taylor in, just saying 40-14 ends up the final there. How'd you like the sequence early? This game was not a blowout from the beginning. Bills take the ball after winning the coin toss. Not my favorite idea, but they make it work by a long 7-8 minute drive for a touchdown for 7-0. And the Jets do their part, move the ball up to around the 20. And you have a 3rd-and-1 play where Braylon Allen is the back. And Rodgers, I don't know if it's RPO when it's Aaron Rodgers. He did roll right, so I think probably. But puts the ball in Allen's gut, pulls it out. Allen just had the first down. I mean, that was not even going to be close. He ends up getting tackled 3 yards downfield or something. So anyway, fine. Rodgers keeps the ball, rolls right. Could run for the first down, but that's not in his bag anymore, usually. And instead has a wide open tight end down inside the 10 and throws it at his feet. And then, what? Throws his arms up. 4th-and-1, they get stuffed, by the way, if I need to include that. Just sort of classic stuff there from the Jets QB. Laughing stock might be right. 803-0550 for your calls. So we also have the MVP debate that is, some would say, mercifully nearing its end. I've enjoyed it. I think this is always a fun conversation when it's close. And last year it was like this, and this year it has been mostly two. Not as many candidates this year by the end of it. When it just became, for about the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's only been Allen, Jackson, and then maybe Saquon Barkley. Right now, Joe Burrow at BetOnline actually has moved above Barkley, with Barkley already being over 2,000 yards. But Burrow leads the league in everything, like yards, he's 42 touchdown passes, attempts, completions, just a hugely prolific season for him. He won't win. I think it's Allen's, because at this point, and I want to say every time, the betting markets are not necessarily the vote, right? We're looking at, it's not even a poll. The BetOnline has not polled the voters, you know, what they would do now, like in an election or something like that. But I do think Allen wins it. And I said this on postgame too. I'm not super proud of this point. But so Tony Romo, announcers almost always drive me nuts. Maybe this one does for you. Just because one thing that they seem to always kind of do or often do is equivocate. You know what? We just want your take. Can you find your way to a take? And on the MVP, Romo just didn't really want to take the question. And ultimately, he said something about, paraphrasing, look, Jackson has won this award twice. It's time for Allen to win. And while I'm just sort of a strict thinker that wouldn't want to open that door up, you know, in this analysis, but I do think it's normal to, and it might even be fair to. The biggest complaint I've gotten tweeted or emailed at me about the MVP stuff in defense of Allen, who again has been the favorite. I'm not sure what you're too worried about, but has been how Jackson last year won the award with a better team record, but not better numbers. Allen had the picks last year that didn't help him sort of fit in with his rep a little bit. And this year he's done amazingly to change that. So the idea was, or is, that Allen deserved it last year. Maybe if Jackson deserves it this year, just individually speaking, it's only fair that each guy win. And again, like, that's not how I like to analyze, or do. I don't want to do it that way, because the award isn't supposed to, it's not supposed to care about what happened in the past. But I guess I think it's okay. And there's an argument for Allen anyway. Like, you don't need to settle for this number, this number, this stat, you know, et cetera, puts him second this year. I mean, what, net yards per play, I think he's number one. His team does have the better record this year by two games, which is maybe similar to last year the other way around. Anyway, so I think he'll win. I don't think he'll be, you know, marked down for not playing very much against New England. Jackson will have the Saturday game. I guess it's possible that if he has another blow-up game for the Ravens against Cleveland, that some are going to want to talk about whether Allen should play against the Patriots. But I just wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want it to work like that either. Like that, to me, the most important thing is get your team right for the postseason. So take your chances with this vote. Lines are open here. Football Monday. Let's go to Scott next. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Mike. Help me remember what happened at half, because I remember I was screaming at the TV about not using the timeouts that we had. I know we had three. We had the ball after we stopped them, and it was almost like instead of taking a shot downfield, if I'm not mistaken, we just kind of ran down the clock and ended up kicking the field goal. Didn't we have time there to maybe take a shot?
I don't know the details. Maybe I'd have to look myself. The second quarter of that game yesterday for me is a long time ago, but I'm looking at my notes. I've got the safety. I've got 1:31 left. This was a game with a lot of penalties, and it's another one of my pet peeves, as you may know, because I say it a lot when announcers start to rag on the number of flags. Twice yesterday, CBS got into, oh, another penalty, and both times when they did that, they picked up the flag, almost like, you know, they were listening. Was it a penalty? Show me the ones that aren't actually flags if you're going to go complaining about how there are too many flags. There were a couple. I'm looking at my notes since you brought the second quarter up. There was a hold on Spencer Brown that I couldn't believe that took away, but they'd already called a couple on the Jets, so here is one against the Bills. Didn't really look like holding to me. And Allen drew a couple of roughing the passer calls that I thought were hilarious. He's right there to complain to the official, even if it's just with his face. Like, put the palms up, point. He's become somebody that's maybe getting kind of addicted to that. And, you know, if it works, but not my favorite trait in athlete. So what happened in terms of timeouts or anything like that? The last thing I have here is Shakir drops an Allen throw where he's being taken down. And that's pretty much it. So I guess I can't help you. Alex is next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You know, I think yeah, you can't underscore enough the point on signature plays that Allen has. I just feel like his signature plays far outweigh Burrow. I think it's really a Burrow-Allen conversation at this point, but I think Allen has the signature plays in the primetime moments. So that's my comment on the MVP. And then a quick thing on the touchdowns by Keon and Cooper. I just feel like I don't have any data to back this up. I'm just curious. I feel like we don't do that a lot. And maybe it's defensive coverages and everything, but like one-on-one opportunities for Coleman there and Cooper is like, I don't think we've seen a lot of those plays this season. Do I have it wrong?
I mean, I don't know compared to the rest of the league. The Cooper one is different from the Coleman one for me. I mean, the Cooper one is a one-on-one play along the sideline. The Coleman play is across the body, almost like a desperate heave that felt like, let's just show everybody how Keon Coleman can outjump anybody. When you're watching that, I said this yesterday too, when you're watching that play on TV, you have no idea what Allen wants. Like, he is running right, and he's throwing back left into the end zone. It's almost like a Hail Mary sort of pass. And you see a Jet defender, and then another one, and Coleman comes from off the screen and just outjumps. Did anybody else even jump? They were like surprised he was there or something. Just, Jets are so bad. So that's not to me like an example of this kind of play. The Cooper one would be, do the Bills do less of it than other teams? I guess I wouldn't know. Pete is next. Hi, Pete.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I just had a quick question about, I love the idea about everybody eats, but I'm interested in your thoughts because it, you know, if we're to be honest, I mean, most of the guys are just getting crumbs. You know, they're not really getting their fill. And I'm just wondering about how do you make that sustainable? Does that impact Josh's ability when he's got 6, 7, 8, 9 receivers to establish rapport or to understand, you know, each receiver's tendencies? Like, is there a strategy? It's one thing to say everybody eats, but I'm hoping in the back room there's a strategy to sustain this.
I think it makes everything harder. The Bills have talked a lot about how it's easier in a way because there aren't personality conflicts. And maybe there's a point about that, or even balance, that it makes them maybe more hard to predict on their offense. But I prefer, that's why I never really bought into this idea, and it's hard not to anymore, but the playoffs are going to decide it. I prefer feeling like I've got an option that you almost can't stop. And that's been Kelce with Kansas City. It was Diggs, but it wasn't so much Diggs by playoff time, certainly not the last couple of years. And that's a part of how their seasons got away from them, that they did not anymore, and maybe it's why they got away from Diggs, but they did not anymore have the go-to, this is what we're going to do on third and six. The closest thing the Bills have to that is Allen leaving the pocket and going on third and six, and he almost always makes it. So, great. But I don't have what Cooper Kupp was the year the Rams won. And then and Chase, of course, then that number two guy. Then we've talked a lot about that on this show, the importance of having the offset to that when you're playing teams that know you so well and are among the best in the league. And this is maybe where the Bills can, to put it one way, get away with it. Because again, they're not easily predictable. Where is the ball going? So that's a different kind of challenge, obviously, for a defense than when you feel like you know that. On this play, we're going to double A.J. Brown, right? Like, that's what you're going to want to have to do here. The Eagles have Devontae Smith, and they win all the time. So that's what I think, I know it is. That's what I'm looking forward to about the playoffs. Whether it's Denver, if they're good enough to challenge this, well, it'll be a playoff game. But then it's certainly going to be the games after that. What can the Bills, whether that's Baltimore and or the Chiefs, who is going to be my guy? And the closest they've had as a receiver to this has been Shakir. But it's still like just okay when it comes to the stats. And he's dropped a couple recently, which is rare for him. I want it to be Cooper because there's the highest upside with him. But no, like the caller points out, they haven't established one player for this. It's kind of been the mantra this year. They are 13-3. So to say the very least, so far so good. What will that be in the playoffs? I am already, and have been, if not obsessing about that, certainly thinking about it. Eric Wood coming up at 4. It is Football Monday. Thanks for the call, Pete. This is Mike Shope on WGR.